all have plenty of space. Very good. Okay, let's just start. Can everybody see our panelists? If not, good time to just move to a different chair. There's plenty of chairs up here, guys. You don't have to hide behind the poles.
Question is, can you throw a tomato this far?
Or a shoe. Or a shoe. Pointy heel shoe.
Man, tough crowd.
It is. Okay. Let me welcome everybody to the H-Cloud Management panel. And I am going to just throw it right to our panelists to introduce themselves and tell us about your organization and how its work is relevant to the management concerns in the health in the healthcare clouds. And we'll try and start by keeping this fairly brief so that we can get into the meat. But let's start with Alan.
Okay. I'm Alan Bentz. I'm the Principal Solutions Architect for the Government Markets Group here at Level 3. And Level 3 is a Fortune 500 company that provides network enablement, or enables the cloud via the network components that we offer as a service. We have optical services, MPLS VPNs, public internet access. We are probably the largest ISP in the world. We have, to give you some stats, we have 500 markets in over 60 countries in the U.S. That includes probably 60, 65 metro markets. We support 9 of the top 10 not-for-profit hospital systems, all of the top 10 U.S. medical research schools, all of the top 10 global pharmaceutical companies, and all of the top 10 U.S. health insurers, and 5 of the top 6 electronic healthcare companies, healthcare record companies. Now, one thing I'd like to point out is that from a top-level architecture design perspective, the network has been represented by a cloud for decades. I'm not saying that we want our icon back, but, you know, I'm just saying.
Okay, and I'm Bruce Bacca, NTP Software. Let me give you some different statistics, more statistics about your world. So in Tim's presentation, he was saying that unstructured data, file data, doubles about every 2.5 years. IBM is one of my favorite sources for numbers. IBM's number would be that it doubles about every 5 years. But Denise Ambridge, writing for ZDNet Health, also quotes IBM as saying that by 2015, unstructured data, file data, will be 80% of all of the bits in healthcare. And NTP Software is the only company, at least that we know of, that's solely devoted to the management of unstructured data. It's a tremendous opportunity space for you. My favorite example customer is out of New York, and on a six-figure investment with us, their time to positive ROI was 42 days. So we're here to represent the unstructured data world.
Justin, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Justin Linnenkohl. I'm a solutions architect in the cloud services business division of Veristore Systems. We're a infrastructure solutions and professional services company out of Atlanta, and started our cloud services business in 2010. Our specific cloud services that we deliver are focused specifically on business continuity and disaster recovery, data protection, and secure archive.
Okay, and now, following from the first keynote regarding the cloud service models, what represents the greatest area of need for management intention in getting started? Where are the largest challenges for responsible leaders in the healthcare organizations in managing their functional migration to these various service models? Which models are best for the various functions? And we'll start with Bruce.
Okay, thanks. As a person, I hate growing older, but as an IT executive, I'm enjoying the fact that I'm a little bit older than most. So I was the CTO at AIG when we implemented the first ever online systems for AIG. Now, this is back when AIG was a good company, not one that destroyed the economy. I was long gone by then. But the truth of the matter is that this type of revolution, this type of paradigm shift, has been done before. It was the change from batch systems to online systems. Now we're going from online to online. We're just online in a different place. And the challenge when you're, you know, in the early stages is to be careful not to overinvest. So we don't yet know who the winners and losers are going to be. We don't yet know what the answer to any particular question is going to be. But you also can't have one foot in and one foot out. So when you do choose to invest, you must be all in or all out. What that means to me in this day and age is don't make a commitment longer than 9 months. If the project can't be done and up and running in 9 months, then it's the wrong choice. Pick something different and do that instead.
Thank you. Justin, go ahead.
All right, thank you. Yeah. Just make sure we're going with the fixed order here. So, so in terms of the various service models and what makes sense, I'll say that from the field, what we find is that certainly in the healthcare space, there is a lot of customers that are embracing software as a service, and of course that lends itself to a specific set of use cases. Just as an example, you know, next gen and various EMR, EHR systems. However, we're also seeing some infrastructure as a service. So it would be, for instance, with the examples from Dell, you have your offsite image archival. Or various secure archive services, such as those that we offer and others that we know of in the space. And then in practice, you know, outside of it, you tend to see a hybrid approach. So you know, to follow on to the all in, all out, I think you'd be all in relative to a finite piece of your business that you're looking to
Exactly.
embrace a particular service model. But we very, very rarely find customers that are all in terms of just handing over all of their infrastructure and services to
Right.
some third party. It's a bit too early, I think,
Yeah.
across the board.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So I think that the planning is the key here, and you need to understand what service model you intend to use for what applications you're providing to or you're pushing into the cloud. If you don't understand that, you're in trouble. If you you also need to understand the user community, the access methods they're going to use. Is that going to be a through the public internet, or are you building a private network or a shared network over, or a private network over shared infrastructure, a VPN? Or you what are your usage models and your growth profile? Do you have any expectations for those? Do you have are you ready to scale from a network perspective? Can your network scale? Are you seeing spikes? Are you going to have some sort of static level and then a usage that peaks and flows or valleys? There's all these things that need to be considered in your planning. Performance expectations. So an earlier panelist or a presentation this morning said consistency wasn't that important, or it was the least of the three components that were on the slide. I would say that your customer base might not agree with that. They may want consistency. So planning is the key.
Thank you. And so now, and looking at deployment models, let's look at the same way for the deployment models. What are the greatest challenges for management and patient care for providers, pharmaceutical research firms, and other healthcare entities in managing their functional migration to these various deployment models? And we'll start with Justin.
To follow on to some of the earlier points, I think that security and control are two of the largest points that are difficult to overcome from a customer standpoint. First of all, to trust a third party to take on the role of not only handling your data, but also maintaining various SLAs. Again, not to over-impress the point, but in practice, what we see is that a hybrid approach tends to be the preferred method so that customers can kind of have a toe in, so to speak, and say, you know what, I'm going to maintain a certain amount of control and security around these systems that I run on-prem, and I'm going to be moving towards the cloud as I see fit, where I find appropriate vendors that have the right solutions that can meet all of the regulatory requirements that I need, and you know, where you can establish a sufficient comfort level.
So, thank you. Yeah.
So as a network provider, we're generally agnostic in this, what deployment model is used. We can support them all, and each have their own, you know, specific criteria and means of support. But, you know, we will work with the cloud service provider and you to achieve the best deployment model and the network related to that as you need.
So I think one of the biggest challenges for deployment was raised earlier by one of the other presenters, and that's platform support. So which of the platforms, how many of the platforms are you going to support? You know, good news is that you weren't all devoted to BlackBerrys a couple of years ago. But again, the winners have yet to emerge. We know who the front runners are, you know, Google and Apple for mobile, for example, but probably Microsoft for tablets. And so the challenge, I think, in this round is to figure out where your personal boundaries, your organizational boundaries are going to be. These things are in and these things are out. And then to maintain the flexibility over probably the next 5 years to take some of the things you've chosen to support and drop them and add a few new things.
Very good. I think we've gotten everybody. So what did you hear regarding architectures as the greatest area for management and attention when you're moving to the cloud? Where are the greatest challenges there in the architectural standpoint? And we'll go to Alan first.
Well, from an architecture perspective, it depends on your application and your service model that you've selected. If you have a requirement for a dedicated or private cloud, then that's what you need to have. The issue is, you know, how can you support that? How can your customer user base, how are they accessing that? How reliable is the network? How reliable is the service you're providing in the cloud? So again, there is no right architecture from a network perspective.
Cool. If you're on board with my previous stats, 80% of all the data is file data, and it's doubling every 2.5 to 5 years. Then I'll give you some stats that should influence your architecture. The first is 4 terabytes a day, and that's how much you can move point to point between two connections inside your data center. And then 1/20th of that, you know, order of magnitude, 250 gigabytes a day. Did I get that math right? 25 gigabytes a day. 25 gigabytes a day is how much you can move point to point between inside your house and the cloud. And so what we find in working with customers is most of the time, it's the bandwidth in the pipe that selects the architecture. There's the architecture that would be the perfectly right solution, and then there's the one that can actually be made to work. The CIO of the Coast Guard said to me a couple of years ago, there's way more bandwidth in the back of a Federal Express truck than there is in all of the internet. And so we're still bit transmission constrained in the kinds of things that we would like to do, and that seems to put a heavy footprint on the architecture.
My comments on architecture really come from a different angle, a different perspective. In terms of conversations that we have with customers week over week, one of the initial questions that we ask is how virtualized they are. A lot of this talk around the cloud, rapid provisioning, ease of access, portability, and so on, the basis of all of that from an architectural standpoint is virtualization. That can be virtualization at an infrastructure layer when you're looking at virtualized storage, virtualized networking, and so on. This virtualized layer is what enables us to take advantage of all of these additional services. Now, obviously, as you go up the stack and you're looking at something like SaaS, that's a different layer of abstraction. So customers that have not embraced virtualization and for some reason have a significant physical footprint still would say that that they may want to start moving towards getting on the bandwagon, so to speak, so that they can take advantage of these additional services.
I think, Justin, that's a good lead in to, so now we've moved this critical mass of the medical or other healthcare functions to the cloud. Where does management have to focus? how do they ensure at this point that they're getting the optimal results from the cloud providers, whichever ones they may be, and how do they avoid the problem areas? So why don't we just start with Bruce?
Great. So this part, I think, is the fun part, providing your into strategic planning. So one of the things that I love to do as a CTO-type guy is run around and talk to people about futures. And so any technology that's going to be in the marketplace next year has been in universities for the last 10 years. And any technology that's going to be in the marketplace next year exists in the lab of someplace like Microsoft today. Because if you look at Windows releases, that data is pretty public. It takes them about 2 to 2.5 years to get a new release of Windows together and out into the marketplace. And so once you've made the transition and you're sort of on the other side of the boundary, you've gone from batch systems to online systems, from in-house systems to cloud systems, then the challenge for you is to be strategic and to start to assess who the winners and the losers are going to be and what the next disruptive technology is going to be. And you do that by running around and talking to people under NDA and figuring out what's in their lab, which I think is wickedly cool. On to you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would follow on to that to say that once IT has recommended to the business and moved the business to embracing various X as a service offerings, be it infrastructure as a service, which is kind of selfishly kind of serves IT more than it does the business. And then as you move up, you look at platform as a service, software as a service, those are more business-facing offerings. It enables IT to focus more on the value prop and what it is that the business is actually getting out of that service. So you can look at it from a cost perspective, you can go through and do your various departmental interviews to understand what business is actually getting out of what they've signed up for, and understand, for instance, if you have a SaaS offering that can be customized and enhanced, how you can enhance that service to better serve the business. Whereas in a legacy model where it's customer owned and operated, oftentimes IT is in no position to handle that sort of enhancement. There simply aren't the cycles available.
Thank you. Alan?
So again, I would suggest that you follow your trends and study the statistics, the performance of your systems and your networks. The two are going to have some dovetailing in terms of are you seeing a bottleneck inside the data center? Are you seeing a bottleneck in the network? If you have the ability to be elastic in your data center, you should also have the availability to be elastic in your network environment. There are a number of service providers usually bringing fiber into these data centers. If you don't like what you're getting from one, see another one. And there are multiple means of providing service in there. We have, we can, if you have a requirement such as my colleague here discussed in the last question, if you have a need to push a lot of data, you might not be moving a terabyte a day, but we can certainly manage a 10 gigabyte or gigabit connection to help you with that problem. It's not over the public internet per se, but if you have that would lend more to a private cloud or potentially a hybrid cloud.
Okay, instead of me asking another question, which of course I have, how about the audience? I figure they might.
Yeah, one question, and it relates to the topic we just said, this notion of IT in the business. With the cloud, what do you see the role of IT moving forward, and do you see a role for IT? Or do we start to see CTOs that come out of the business? Do we start to see people who are tech savvy, and now that the cloud has provided enough automation and capabilities that you don't need to have expertise in provisioning all these sorts of things? Do you see IT still continuing to grow and look the way it does, or how does that change with this?
Can I start
yes,
with me?
You brought up the topic.
Sure.
It's your fault.
Good question.
Yes, it's a really good question. So I think that in terms of conversations that we're having with a vast number of customers, and we're not specifically aimed at any specific vertical or domain, what we're seeing is that the role of IT is changing pretty substantially. We're moving out of the role of owning and operating IT. There's still owned and operated IT, but it is getting reduced. And you hear about the consumerization of IT. So
You have end users that only have to worry about the consumption of X as a service. However, in terms of advisement to the business and them understanding what they're getting into and what they can get out of it and looking at it from a cost perspective, an analysis perspective, understand how they can enhance a particular service, you still very much need expertise that has that domain awareness, has the vested interest in the business, and also understands a long-term roadmap that can't necessarily be handled by individual business units within an overall organization. So I don't see the elimination of IT. I see a complete change in what IT's role is.
Is there another question? Or
can I do a follow-on to that?
Certainly.
So years ago, too long ago for me to be willing to say how long ago, when I was at AIG, one of the guys who worked for me was Paul Buntrock, and Paul's dad, Bill Buntrock, was the executive vice president of Commercial Union, one of AIG's competitors. And on January 2nd of that year, he walked into his CIO and said, in the next 30 days, I want you to fire half of the staff. And the CIO was like beyond hysterical. And Bill said to the CIO, look, I am always frustrated and angry. This year, I want to be frustrated and angry for half the price. The purpose of that story is to exemplify the issue that you raise, which is the disconnect between IT and the business. You know, when I worked for AIG, I started studying for my certified property casualty underwriter certification. You know, because I was supposed to know the IT. My job in those, as an IT provider at AIG, was to know its business. Mm-hmm. And so I think the answer to your question is yes. That the IT organization will be filled with specialists whose role in technology is assumed and whose knowledge of the business is required.
Okay.
I agree with these guys here. I think that the face of IT is going to change, and you're not going to have as many people that are doing the layer one types of things. What you're going to see is more analytics requirements and more cybersecurity requirements, and you'll have to fill those headcounts.
Well, okay. I want to thank our panelists, but I want to thank you all very much, our panelists. I want to thank our speakers. And we have now a networking break where you can talk with everybody downstairs. So you can visit with our exhibitors. You can have a little something to get you awake. But then come on back up and bring your friends for 3:30 when we have more speakers, more panels, and that will then take us into the evening's
temper
cocktail.
Enthusiasm.
Really? So thank you very much. We'll see you downstairs and back up here at 3:30.